Previously on the Ron Van Dam Show.
Oh, I found Jesus. This is a special day.
And as fascinating as that is, I'm like an apartment building where you have to buzz to come upstairs on the intercom.
And now, today's episode.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you so much.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, what are you doing? What you doing? Welcome to the program. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. I'm the person whose name is in the title. Hey, for every person in the studio audience today, I have a surprise for you. Reach under your chair, and you can have that piece of gum that someone left there 6 years ago. Hey, you. My eyes are up here. You know what I'm saying? Happy Friday to you. Oh my God, is it Friday already? It seems like last week it was Friday too, almost like a week ago. Odd. Ooh, scary, huh? You know, the older you get, the faster time goes. Did you know that? Yeah, that kind of doesn't seem like it's a good deal going on. Usually when you get older, you want things slowed down a bit. No, time kind of screws with you. It says, okay, let's speed it up so that you get really nothing out of this. Oh, my God. I know that when I was a kid, I remember being a kid, that time was very, very slow. But I had a lot to do. I had to grow up. I had adolescence going on. You familiar with adolescence? Yeah, huh? It's a lot happening in a short period of time. Between the ages of 13 and 21, there was a lot of stuff going on, man. Whoa. I was learning to drive. I was learning to drink. I was having relationships. Sex came into play. I was learning things in school, making new friends, finding out that things weren't as great as they were going to be. And there was just so much going on, you know? And then you get a little bit older and you're thinking about getting married, starting a family. You got dreams of a house. You got a job. Oh, my God. So much going on, packed into like a 10-year span. And then after that, nothing. just a pure diet of nothing. Get up in the morning, go to work, have lunch, go home. Watch a little TV, go to bed, have dinner, then watch TV and go to bed. And then I wake up and do the same thing all over again for 5 days in a row. Then the weekend comes and I stand in the middle of the room with my pants off yelling woo-woo, drinking beers for like 48 hours. What a life. Yeah, I know. It's crazy, man. Easter's coming very early this year, and nobody told Jesus about it. I don't get it. I said this a couple of days ago. Easter's coming like at the end of March. Usually, it's coming toward the end of April. I don't understand the scheduling here. Who makes the schedule for Easter? Is it the Pope? Pope, when do you want to have Easter this year?
Make it earlier. I want to have dinner earlier, like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Make Easter earlier, because I'm tired. I don't want to stay up.
My God. I mean, when was the last time there was a young pope? I mean, you're concerned about Trump and Biden being older? The pope dies in office. I mean, whatever that is, that's not an office. It's like a dies in balcony, let's say. That's old. We don't have any problem with that. We don't say, you know, the Pope that they have, he's too old. Nobody says that. When are we going to get a young Pope, like 23, who's, progressive? Nobody says that. Again, age is a sign of wisdom. Period. And this time around, you got two 80-year-olds. And 80 isn't that old anymore. I'm telling you, kids, you'll find out 80 is not a big deal anymore. And if you think that you're starting to lose it when you're like in your early 80s or you're getting into the 80 area, you think you start to lose it, take a look at people in their 20s and 30s. They've already lost it. I don't understand. We got an age problem here that for no reason whatsoever, to be honest with you. I don't know. You got one guy, the Trump guy, he talks, he doesn't make any sense. He just like, he has like episodes. Then you got the other one, the Biden, who appears a little bit older because, you know, you get a little bit older, you can't walk as well. But is that a sign of not being able to run a country? Because you can't, look, he can't run a country. He doesn't walk that well. What? That doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. There's one thing that Biden is not doing that he really should do, because I went through it. Now, listen to me carefully, okay? Put that down. Put that down and listen to me. Joe Biden, through his life, he had a stuttering problem. All through his life. In other words, his brain knows what to say, but it doesn't get to his mouth because he stutters. He doesn't stutter a lot. He stutters less than he used to as a child. It has nothing to do with the function of his brain. As a matter of fact, the guy is damn smart. I stuttered as a child.
Ron, you're revealing something about yourself.
Yep, I am. When I was 12 years old, when I was like 10 or 11 it started, I couldn't answer a question in school. When the teacher would call on me, I would go crazy, not because I didn't know the answer, because I did, but I couldn't get it out of my mouth. My brain knew it. My brain knew what to say, but it didn't transform to my mouth. It's called stuttering. There are all different kinds of reasons for stuttering. They can be psychological. They can be physical. It doesn't matter. So my mother sent me to a speech therapist, which was a psychologist that kind of specializes in talking. And I wanted to be in radio someday. I was fascinated with radio, but I knew in the back of my mind, I can't do that. I just can't do that. If I hit a word that it was difficult to say, I would just not be able to continue. So I went to a speech therapist in New York City in Manhattan. And I went there for 3 years, and at the end of the 3 years, I didn't stutter anymore. It was great. It was great. And then I had little episodes as I got older, but then they went away too, and now I've been doing radio for 30 years. I'm not the most eloquent guy in the world, but I certainly am not showing like I can't do it, and I stutter all the time. Case in point, I don't. So that was wonderful. So I get it, Joe. I get it. Joe Biden had a stuttering problem when he was younger, and every once in a while he has trouble saying the words. His mind knows what to say, but it can't come out of his mouth as well. Trump's got the opposite problem. I wish he couldn't get the stuff out of his mouth. But, you know, these aren't necessarily signs of aging at all. Competency is everything. Joe should tell people that, look, I stuttered when I was younger. I may do it every once in a while. It has nothing to do with my intelligence or my ability to perform. As a matter of fact, Joe should say, I have been in every circumstance, in every corner. I've been consoling people with loss of life. My son passed, my wife, my family taken out in a car accident, practically all of them when I was younger. I've been through it. I've been there. I was vice president. I've been in Congress for decades and decades. I've been through problems, crises. Every country is familiar with me. I'm familiar with the entire world. I know everything. The other guy, Trump, says he does, but he doesn't. I actually have been through it. Check it out. I've been through everything. That's who I want running the country. A guy who's been through everything and involved in it from a top level. I don't know what the argument is here. I don't get it. Maybe there should be a pope that's 30 years old. I don't know. I have no idea, but that doesn't seem to be a problem. Anyway, it is Easter coming up. I don't know why. I don't know how this happened so early. Again, it was a scheduling problem. We had March Madness and we couldn't fit them both in. Or we wanted to fit them both in. Maybe Easter gets more of a publicity boost during the March Madness basketball. That's all anybody seems to care about at this point. The beginning of baseball, maybe that's supposed to coincide with the Vatican. I just don't get it. I don't get it. I mean, everything is getting earlier. I mean, you know, at Christmas, you start buying Christmas gifts like in August. Start talking about Christmas in August. People putting their trees up in October. Why not have Easter at the end of March? What's the difference? What's the difference? Kids don't care. It's funny how we turn these religious holidays into kids' holidays. And the kids' holiday part has nothing to do with the religion at all. I mean, it's fine. I'm perfectly understanding of that, and that's wonderful. But just odd to me that you've got these pious holidays, and kids only care about the gifts and the trademark characters that represent them, like Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny, and it's all they care about. I mean, seriously. Okay. Get ready for the holiday. This is the weekend edition of the program. It may be Easter today. It may be Easter in a few days. It may be Easter tomorrow. Maybe it was Easter. I have no idea. I don't keep track anymore. So let's start with this. My first guest is Chef Jamie Gwen. She was with us a couple of weeks ago. She's going to be with us again right now. We're going to talk about some foods that are available to make your Easter a bit more exciting and different, because you probably may have people over, you're going to somebody's house, you need some Easter ideas and some spring ideas. So she's here right now, and I enjoy talking to her, because when we talk about food, I'm just happy. That's just happy. Makes me happy. Okay. Former Master Chef judge and celebrity chef Jamie Gwen joins us. She's a frequent guest on the program because she has so many great ideas for entertaining and cooking and food and the whole thing, which we need. Jamie, thanks for being with us today.
Yes, you do need them, Ron. I love being back with you. Thank you for having me. And happy spring.
It is happy spring. We got Easter. I can practically touch the holiday, and that launches the whole spring idea. So, I mean, there's a lot to talk about.
There is a lot to talk about. I have a full menu planned. We're making homemade yeast rolls. I'm very excited. But I'll tell you, I've got some new finds and a recipe for you that I think you're going to love.
Okay.
All right. You ready?
I'm here ready. All right.
Trending right now, because you want to be on trend, right?
Yes.
Global flavors. We all know it. We see it. Food from every part of the world. And let's embrace it. And there's something about spring and like a fresh start that makes me want to try new foods. So you have to look for this brand called Tata Rasa. It is a decadent range of delicious, ready-to-eat Indian meals.
Ooh.
They're really progressive in their packaging. They come in a bag that you can actually just, you know, open, peel the top off, and you heat it in 60 seconds, inspired by the finest restaurants and hotels in India. There are four very delicious varieties. You can find royal black lentils, rich coconut lentils, mm-hmm. regal chickpea tikka, and majestic red bean curry.
Yes.
All vegetarian, use them as a main dish or easy weeknight meal, a quick lunch. You just add rice or naan.
Yep.
And I'll tell you, I am addicted to the royal black lentils. They are so good. You could add them to a, your Easter spread as a side dish. Or I think when you consider that there's always a vegetarian at the table, this has to be the easiest, foolproof, most delicious way to satisfy them. So it's called Tata Rasa. You have to look for it. They are absolutely authentic and delicious.
Perfect. Yeah, that's quick. Something that you can't do yourself in that amount of time. So that's a perfect solution.
Exactly. Mm. Oh, I love that approach.
Yeah.
I also, of course, you know, I have a thing for olives.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was raised on olives, and my son now, like my mom, his grandma, you can turn to the counter in my kitchen and you can see both of them have pearls, black olives on all their fingers. It's very funny.
Yep.
But with that said, I took my love for pearls, olives, and I did a twist on spring. I took everyone's favorite deviled eggs, but I made them Mediterranean inspired.
Yep.
So I added the flavor of pearls, Kalamata, and the new Castelvetrano olive. The Castelvetrano olive is a green olive. It is so tangy and delicious. It has this really lovely texture. And you know that I count on pearls because of the quality. There is a huge variance of quality in olives on the market. So please, buy the best.
Yep.
Buy pearls.
Let me just
say, they have a traditional sliced black olive.
Yeah, they have everything. Well, I love a martini every once in a while. And now Pearl has come out with these large green olives with the pimento, but they're soaked in the white vermouth. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Aren't they fabulous?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, you and I need to have a martini together. I will bring my own jar of Pearl's blue cheese stuffed olives.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Stop it.
Very happy. Very, very happy. I know the garlic stuff, too, you know, I put on a pizza.
Yeah.
They're amazing. They're all hand-stuffed, the specialties by Pearl's. And I just think they add flavor to every meal. And the recipe is being posted, so you got to make sure you get it. Because these deviled eggs, some of them have pesto mixed in.
Yeah.
Some of them have sun-dried tomato and feta. They're just out of this world. And then, because Easter is a big feast, no matter what you celebrate, maybe you're having a spring celebration.
Yeah.
You never want to miss dessert because life is uncertain. Mm-hmm. But why not let someone else make dessert for you?
Mm-hmm.
So my new favorite dessert treat is called Jar Joy.
Hmm.
And it is a multi-layered dessert that comes in a jar. You're going to find it in the refrigerated section, comes in a box. You get multiple jars. So you put them out on a platter and you say, voila, dessert. And they come in so many delicious flavors.
Oh my
but
God.
My current addiction is peanut butter cup. Oh yeah, Ron, you'd love this. Chocolate cookie cake crumble on the bottom, whipped peanut butter cream, this rich, really silky Swiss chocolate on top. They also make raspberry cheesecake, salted caramel brownie, Mississippi mud pie. Each jar of joy is like the perfect portion size, all premium ingredients. It's called Jar Joy. You've got to look for it. I think it's brilliant.
Wow. My God, this is better than sex. Okay.
Wait, can we go back to the martini for a minute?
Yeah, please. I love that part.
I was just naming lots of wonderful things. By the way, you know the marshmallow bunnies that everybody loves?
Yes, yes.
Yes, my son loves them. So you know what I do now? I skewer them on a straw and I stick them in all the kids and the adults' drinks, or like I'll float one off a martini. So here on the set, I have all these marshmallow bunnies on straws, Ron. You would love it. And I'll tell you, it's very delightful. It adds some whimsy. Make sure you do it. I'll post at Chef Jamie Gwen the tutorial, because you need to start with a skewer. And then, of course, everything you just heard about, lots of recipes and inspiration, is always posted at dailylounge.com. Dailylounge.com.
Perfect.
And my Easter menu's up.
Oh, okay. So we can get some tips on that. There's still time to get that together. Wonderful.
There is. I have this lamb marinade that I'm doing this year, and it is just, I mean, talk about tenderness and flavor. And it's a dump recipe. You just put everything in. But I'll tell you, it doesn't matter. Lamb chops, lamb shank, lamb sirloin. You can make lamb burgers with it. It's that good.
Wow. You have to know what you're doing, though. So, yeah, lamb's a little difficult sometimes, but...
it can be finicky. Yeah. It can be finicky. My best chef's tip, I'll tell you, Ron, is, you know how, like, everybody's overcooking chicken breast because you're supposed to get it to 165 degrees.
Right.
Please remember carry over cooking. Pull your chicken breasts at 155 and let them carry over cook, just like the steak does. They'll come up to temperature, as will the lamb and the beef, et cetera, et cetera. Then you'll have juicy, lovely protein.
Yeah, yeah, that's the trick to juiciness, is to let them sit for a small period of time, right?
You've got to let them chillax. Yeah. That's your time to sip your martini.
You got an answer for everything, and they're all good answers.
Well, I'm just trying to get back to the martini.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Me too.
I have a 4-year-old. Come on.
Okay. Well, that makes sense now. Hey, Jamie, it's always a pleasure.
Sure.
One more time, we can go to dailylounge.com. You can get all that information there and then some. Have a great holiday.
That's
and we'll
it.
Talk.
I'll see you on social.
You got them. We continue with the program. I have another guest coming up momentarily, and we'll talk about adolescence. Shall we do that? I started talking about that at the beginning of the program, on how we grow. But, you know, that hasn't changed at all. We all go through the same things. There's technology involved now and all different kinds of factors as we grow into things. But at the same time, that process at that young age of 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, all that stuff, that hasn't changed. You're still trying to navigate and maneuver society. You're trying to fit in. You want to fit in. You can't wait to fit in, but it's tough to do. And the only way you can learn anything is to go through it. That's the only way. Your parents can tell you things to avoid or give you tips and try to helicopter through this period of life. But it doesn't matter, because until you actually experience what they're talking about, you don't get it. And that's just the way it is. And that's this incredibly delicate time of life. And how you navigate it and what experiences you go through during this adolescence period shapes you for the rest of your life. And you may say, no, it doesn't, Ron. And I say, yes, it does, Bob. Or whatever your name is, Kathy, whatever. I don't know. I don't know your name. I have no idea. But it's a significant part of life. It carries with you. If you were bullied in school, you're going to carry that with you the rest of your life. Those memories will be there. You'll feel picked on, like you're not the top person. You never were. You were put down. Now you're sensitive about. I mean, that carries all the way through. You're not necessarily like that through the rest of your life, but you carry that memory, and it's embedded in you. The stuff that you go through, or let me say it better for those that talk differently, all that shit that you go through, is that better now you understand? That's significant. That's the going through shit part of life. It's exciting. It's new. It's invigorating. It's awful. It's horrible, but it is, and it hasn't changed from generation to generation. Adolescence in the mid-12th century was probably the same. I don't know. I wasn't there as much as you think I was. Let's talk to our guest. Author Wesley Moore joins us now. He's written an incredible novel called Today, Oh Boy. And there's a lot going on in there. And if you're a baby boomer, this will be especially interesting. If you're not, it'll still be interesting because it's about the 70s, which was the greatest time in the world, especially for music and for growing up. Many challenges that still exist today, a generation later, practically. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, thank you, Ron. Thanks for having me.
This is a very interesting book. A lot of people can connect with this, especially if you were in high school in any place in the country. That's the growing up period. That's a real influential time of life, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I taught high school for 34 years, and one thing I found is that even though styles change from bell bottoms to baggy pants, that adolescents essentially remain the same.
Yeah. It pretty much has, especially the bullying, unfortunately. And that's that's a big part of the book as well. The bullying has actually transformed into presidential activity. So it's an amazing thing. Most people remember the movie Ferris Bueller, Day Off, and that was a very big motion picture. But that's kind of indicative of that time period in one's life, that adolescence, right?
Yeah. There are two. Today, Old Boy has sort of twin protagonists. One's named Rusty Boykin, and the other's Ollie Wyborn. Rusty's rebellious. He's embracing the counterculture that's just beginning to seep into the small southern town of Somerville. Mm-hmm. And Ollie's a transplant from the north who's having trouble negotiating southern folkways. And you made an allusion to bullying. They're sort of a proto-MAGA group in the school in which the novel takes place. And their hobby is beating up hippies.
Yeah. I was there. I didn't get involved in that, but I sure did see it. As a teacher now, how does that compare to what you went through in adolescence?
Well, this novel is autobiographical in that I was a junior in high school in 1970, and I was growing my hair long and starting to experiment with marijuana, et cetera, while most of the town remained very straight, very traditionally Southern. Mm-hmm. And so I've experienced a lot of what Rusty experienced. However, nothing that happens in the novel actually happened to me.
Uh-huh. But you certainly had that in your atmosphere.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Wow. I think we're psychological brothers as far as that's concerned.
Yeah.
adolescence has always been popular and amazing. So this topic is fascinating to many, especially during that particular time period in life. And one would always think that as we advance 30, 40 years later, that things would have changed dramatically. Other than the cell phones, maybe not so much.
No, you know, it's really, I began my teaching career at in 1985 at the school that Stephen Colbert went to.
Ah.
He had graduated like 2 or 3 years before I'd gotten there. Mm-hmm. And what I found over the years, this is going to sound weird, that the kids have become nicer, but less worldly.
Mm-hmm.
They're not as
true
adult as they used to be, as probably you and I were back when we were in high school. They've sort of been babied a little bit.
Yeah, baby now.
Yeah. They're when I first started teaching, parents would rarely ever contact me. And when I retired in 2019, you know, it was constant.
Wow. Yeah. This is the helicopter world. Apparently.
Right.
Yeah. this is when we used to drink water out of the hose in the backyard and nobody thought anything of it. And we're still alive.
Right.
All right. Give me an example of something that happens in the book that kind of really hits home.
Well, the character Rusty is kicked out of school for being out of dress code, and he has to hitchhike because he doesn't have a car and he rode the bus in to get his hair cut and to come back to school. Supposedly he doesn't come back, but to hitchhike back. And Back then, you know, the administration really didn't check on students like that. They didn't say, well, do you have a way to get home? They just said, get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. It was an interesting, time. The Vietnam War was there, the protesting, racism. Well, that's still around. So we all lived in that area. It's interesting to somebody who grew up in that time period and is in the retirement senior age, and it's interesting to one who is going through it now. It kind of covers everything there, to be honest with you.
Well, thank you for the praise for the novel. The Kirkus headline is "Dazzling Characters Front This Quietly Sublime Period Piece."
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I would, I love that, but I'm not sure how quiet this book is. You know, you have a fight outside of a pool hall and a high speed car chase.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's not quiet. And it's also, it would make a great movie, to be honest with you. Has anybody approached you?
No. Well, yes, but not in a significant way. When I wrote it, I tried to make it as cinematic as possible. I wrote in the present tense. The characters are described. It's sort of quick cut, to use a movie term.
Yeah.
You'll read a little scene and then you'll switch to another scene.
Cool.
So, I think it'd make a terrific movie.
Yeah. Well, all right. And I'm sure that's going to happen. So what are you working? Are you working on another novel, or what are you doing at this point?
Yeah, I have something. It's almost finished. It's called Long Ago Last Summer, and it's difficult to describe. It's sort of like a memoir of my life, but each little piece can stand alone, and it consists of short fiction, poetry, and nonfiction. So it's sort of like a mosaic. You could pick up any piece and read it in any order, but if you were to read it in chronological order, it would sort of span my life from childhood up until today.
Yeah. Is that a refreshing thing to do, Wesley? In your head, because you're bringing people back into their heads too, by the way. It's not, when you do reflections of that time period, you're taking people back with you. Is that a healthy thing to do? Is that a good thing to do?
Well, for me it is, because one thing, I have two sons and a stepdaughter, and to me, when they read this, they'll see things that I've not told them.
Yeah.
And I grew up in the South, in the segregated South, and there's a genre called Southern Gothic, and my life was sort of Southern Gothic. This Tennessee Williams Christmases, to coin a phrase. So, I think it's healthy, and it's very, a lot of the stuff is very humorous too. It's not, spilling my guts in that sense.
Right. Well, the coming of age stuff is always humorous, to be honest with you. Huh. Yeah. I'm still trying to figure out the difference between hitchhiking and taking an Uber. I still don't get it.
Yeah, man. Here's a quick little thing.
Yeah.
I was picked up hitchhiking by the mass murderer Pee Wee Gaskin.
Get out! Really?
No, I swear. And this happened when I was in high school. But I'll just tell you, and this will be in Long Ago Last Summer, the whole encounter. But at one point, there were like three or four children in the car with him, and they were kin to him somehow.
Uh-huh.
And they were like 7 or 8 years old, smoking cigarettes and drinking beer.
Wow.
And one of them got a pin that had been hollowed out and shot a spitball in the back of Pee Wee's neck. He turned around, put a cigarette on the boy's arm. And when I looked up, there was a wad of paper lodged in the crease in the back of his neck.
Wow.
But he didn't kill us, because with all those kids in the car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. When we're finished with the conversation, please complete that book so that I can read it.
Okay. Thank you.
You've already.
But actually, you can, if you go to my blog, it's WLM3 arabicnumeral.com.
Okay.
There's the whole story in there.
Okay.
Of the Pee Wee Ride.
Okay. WLM3 Okay. .com. Perfect.
And just type in search Pee Wee.
Okay. By the way, because he's Wesley Moore III, that's why that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that's one place we can go. Any other sites? Does that encompass everything, or are there other sites we can go to?
No, that site. That's one. That's my site, and you can actually read a piece of Today, Oh Boy, perfect. A pre-publication piece from it there.
Perfect. Well, the book's available everywhere, and it's even though it does a particular time in history and what people went through, especially the adolescents, it's really for everybody at every time. So it's an interesting piece. It's a pleasure speaking to you. I am looking forward to your next one, and when you do, please hook up with us.
I will, Ron, and thank you so much for having me. If you're ever down in Charleston, South Carolina, get in touch, and we'll have a beer together.
You got a deal. Well, that'll do it for me today. You have been wonderful as usual. You never disappoint. You never disappoint. You sit there, you shut up, you listen to me talk for half an hour. You never disappoint me. I'll be back again on Monday with a brand new program, brand new episode, I should say. But until that time arrives, enjoy yourself.